This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, Another Day by Paul McCartney. It's just another day with the morning run. Melissa, Chuang and Hunt here with you, 6:21 right now. And Singaporean Wee Kiat Koon, well, he's an op-ed contributor to the South China Morning Post. He has written a scathing column about Malaysia's decision to scrap the high-speed rail project, the HSR project. So he's saying that he's utterly disappointed. However, he actually pointed out that that this has a familiar ring to it, because Malaysia, reneging on this contract or reviewing this contract, scrapping it, for him, is a throwback to Tun Dr. Mahathir's previous premiership. And he's saying that this is, I guess, has caused some anxiety among Singaporeans.
Yeah, well, so, you know, this op-ed writer, Wee Kiat Koon, then draws upon some ancient Chinese norms, you know, going back to the Han dynasty.
Not yours?
Yeah, not mine.
But you can claim credit.
Yeah, not yet, baby. All right, anyways, so, you know, in highlighting the importance of honoring agreements. Now, I've read this pretty short article a few times. I'm trying to get into the mind of Wee Kiat Koon here. And fine, on one hand, I can see the value of policy continuity, but to frame it using ancient Chinese norms and cultures, I'm like, I don't know how relevant it is.
To put that into context, so what he's saying is that Malaysia could learn a thing or two from the ancient Chinese, because ancient Chinese understood the importance of agreements, which they entered through formal and informal means, such as written contracts, blood oaths, verbal promises, and physical gestures, such as clapping the other person's palm with one's own. A handshake, shall we say.
Yeah.
A handshake in olden days time.
I think Mr. Wee is a bit of a China file. I mean, some of his columns from the past have more than a few reflections on Chinese history. One of them was Malaysia's Anwar Mahathir Alliance is unlikely, but none more so than from China's past. So that's another one in reference to. But I mean, look, the two parties to the contract are no longer present. And the two signatories in the form of Najib's camp and the Chinese camp, right? Now with the Mahathir camp in the picture, I think if you're a prudent policymaker and a sovereign country leader, you must have the temerity and the courage and the wherewithal to relook at contracts which you think were lopsided in the past, and to review them and to pay the penalties because obviously if you have a breach of contract, right, in legal terms, if you have if you want to avoid the contract or you don't want to specifically perform the contract, you've got to pay some penalties. That means there is room within the agreement for those kind of measures, right?
Right.
And I think that's what Mahathir is doing.
Right.
And some of the numbers that have been pushed around are 500 million or 500 billion, or 500 million, right? Half a billion ringgit or something, right? To basically reverse the terms of the contract or to alter the terms of the contract, which it's not illegal for him to do so. It's entirely within his right, but he's got to pay the penalty. And
So what about this, the idea of contract sanctity, right? You've signed something on the dotted line. Is it understandable that this Singaporean writer would feel upset or worried about kind of future projects? Could he be worried about other projects coming under review?
Well, I think those concerns are not just on the part of Mr. Wee, but also among, say, local infrastructure players, the local business community, and also, foreign investors, right? Now, on what basis do you place your bets, right? Now, just to broaden out the conversation, it's not something that's unique to Malaysia. I mean, heck, when Donald Trump, came in, he just basically, TPP, gone out the window, right?
Look, let's reverse the picture here. If Singapore had a previous government before this, right, and they went to town, they had a gala party, and they did all kinds of contracts which are lopsided to, incumbent vested interests, would Singaporeans not want to have those contracts reviewed and rescinded as necessary? Right?
Mm.
Right? I mean, I think either
party would have, I guess, the prerogative to review, right?
Absolutely.
Even some marriages go into divorce.
Exactly.
If you can get
divorced. What is that, three out of four marriages?
I don't think it's that bleak, Chuang.
No, I think it is.
50%. 30 to 40%, right?
Who knows?
I'm not married yet.
I'm going to say it's a lot less than that. I'm going to say I'm a bit more of a romantic.
Oh, really?
I think that, you know, divorce rates have gone down. Anyway, we have a couple of tweets coming in, just weighing in on our conversation about the arts or I guess, developing the arts industry a little earlier. Peter Bellew, formerly of Malaysia Airlines, is weighed in all the way from Ireland, I think. He's with Ryanair right now.
Top of the morning to you, Peter. Sorry.
Peter is saying that the quick way to help the arts sector would be a simple site or app with a listing of events. Lots of brilliant gigs in Malaysia, but no visibility. And Hannah Mohamed Nasser are also saying, develop the arts industry. For sure, man.
You know, I've got a suspicion, and I've communicated this suspicion to Peter Bellew before, that he's making a push, you know, to be like the BFM music director or something. He's wanting to get back into the local arts scene. That's why he's, you know, tweeting all this
stuff. Well, there's always a job for you here, Peter, if you ever want to come back to Malaysia.
We're on to you, Peter. We're on to you.
It's 6:27 right now. Counting Crows next with Accidentally in Love. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.